Welcome to the Mo Show podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in across our audio platforms. Just before we kick off, a reminder to download the Kaft app. We have linked it in the show notes across YouTube and the audio platforms. It'll really elevate your experience once you're within Kaft. I've lived a life without it, then with it, and I've realized that it just made my life so much easier in navigating my way through Kaft with the app. So give that a shot when you get a chance. Yesterday, we had some big news coming out. We partnered up with our newest sponsor, Noon. Noon is a leading digital commerce platform in the Middle East. I'll tell you about their two latest services in Saudi Arabia, Noon Minutes and Supermall. Noon Minutes, as the name says, they deliver thousands of products in just 15 minutes, whether it's groceries, household appliances, or even electronics. No one does it faster. And then we have Supermall, the ultimate destination for fast premium shopping, whether it's the latest tech, skincare essentials, or everyday must-haves. Noon has you covered, so stay tuned for more and enjoy the episode.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to the Mo Show podcast, first F1 driver I've ever had, so it's an honor. You're of Arab descent, Algerian background. It's kind of fitting, kind of like a full circle moment. I mean, Arab background, racing in Saudi Arabia. This is our fourth or fifth year, I think. Did you ever think the day would come where you'd race in Formula One in Saudi Arabia? Was that something that ever crossed your mind?
I always, you know, like growing up, I was like, I really want to drive in Algeria, but at least in Saudi, it's definitely like a first step, you know. It's like, it's definitely big, and yeah, it's something I always wanted, because I just feel like the support here is different. I feel more at home.
Were there ever any Algerian drivers representing the country in F1, F2?
No one made it to F1, that's for sure.
You're the first.
Yeah.
Should be very proud.
I am. And it's quite epic, actually. It's first Arabic Formula One driver ever, so... It's huge, I think.
You have points, alhamdulillah, 5 points this year in a matter of
four.
Could have just left it at five.
Yeah.
In a matter of just a few races, I did a bit of research and I saw that you have more than Sainz and Fernando Alonso combined, which is something that nobody can take away from you. But how is the start of the year? How are you feeling the first couple of races?
Honestly, I had no clue how it was going to turn out. Like, I always worked my whole life to get there. And I was like, going into Melbourne, I was like, okay, this is coming. But like, am I fast enough? Do I have the skills required? Like, is it not too fast for me? And, you know, I think I had like a good start to the year in Melbourne. And then what happened on Sunday, you know, like, I couldn't make it to the race, and you know, like, you feel like your world is falling apart. And then a week later in China, I have my best qualifying of the season so far. So a lot has happened in four race weekends, and to be fair, I think it's a great start to the year we had. Yeah.
How much of it is a mental game? You're still young. When I was your age, football was my sport, but I don't think I ever practiced this. It was all about, you know, the physicality and let's psych yourself up. You hear a lot of the people that operate on a high level. I think of Cristiano Ronaldo. I think of Anthony Joshua. I think of LeBron James. They say it's all won or lost here.
I think at a decent level, you don't need to use or practice mentally, I think. But at the highest level of the sport, the pinnacle of the sport, when you go for that final qualifying lap, you have the pressure and you have to nail it. And it's 1:30 of intensity, you know. You've got to be strong up there, and it's definitely all in the mind, because there's so much going on in your brain while you're driving. You need to keep those thoughts really clear. And I actually have someone I'm working with mentally. So I have my own guy. It's something I started working on a year and a half ago. Before making it to Formula One.
Like a therapist?
Yes.
Mental health coach?
Call it whatever you want. Maybe mind management.
Yeah.
Mind master, whatever. And basically you get to know yourself more.
is the courage in who can break latest in Formula One. Is that the method without giving away your secrets?
That's definitely, I think the braking is where you make the last few hundreds of your lap time. But in the end, you know, how to be fast over a whole lap, what is it? It's basically you look at your corner and you try to be as fast while making the least distance. That's what it's all about. So it's this compromise, distance and speed. So there's no rules to it. So how you, there's no, like, you know, people talk about, you know, ideal braking shape or whatever, or this line, and there's actually infinite amount of line you can take. And I find it fascinating because I, going into a corner, I only use like my instinct and to try and find the fastest way around. Mm. And braking actually is like a, I think you train it really in your early days in go-kart, like this approach of braking always later and later and later. And it's definitely like one of the skills I've acquired throughout the years. And I feel even more comfortable now in Formula One. You know, those cars have so much downforce that when you actually hit the brakes, you have so much load on the car that it decelerates so fast, like from 300 to 100 in just like this. And I definitely feel comfortable in the car to brake just a tiny bit later.
They scare me, those cars. Like, they actually terrify me.
To be fair, first time I jumped in an F1 car, I was like, it's massive as well. I was like, how am I jumping in this car? You know, like, there's the bodywork, the floor looks like a spaceship, honestly. And first time I jumped in a car, I was in Mexico, 23. And it was, you know, I mean, I drove my whole life, been up the grades until Formula 2. So you're like, yeah, I'm a good driver, you know, I'm experienced. And then suddenly you jump in an F1 car and you're nobody because it's so fast.
It's another beast.
It's a different universe.
You know, when the camera's on the main straight as the cars are coming back from the warm-up lap and you see them warming up the cars, something that big should not, it's like an optical illusion, should not be able to turn right and left with the ferocity that it does.
Exactly.
Like, I look at that, I'm like, how the hell is that thing going right, left that quickly? It's something that the eye has never seen.
Your stomach going left and right.
Just watching it, you know. God knows how you guys feel on the damn thing.
Yeah, it's really like, especially at high speed when you're about to start a lap. I don't know, tires are cold, and you're like, okay, we need more temps, and you do like high speed weaving, and you go from left to right to left, like so fast, like a shark, you know. And even in the car, it's still impressive. Every time I do it. It's really something that's exciting.
Yeah. Going back to what you said, that it was a different beast going from Formula 2 to that. I remember there was a Top Gear episode where Richard Hammond was in the Formula 1 car for the first time. And the first four or five goes, you guys might remember it, he stalled every time. It's not as, I thought it was as simple as pressing a button, putting it in drive and go. I didn't know there was a manual transmission element to it. And the guy who's an experienced driver, Richard Hammond, he did Top Gear for how many years?
Yeah.
He stalled four or five times on the car.
Ugh.
It was that difficult to get the car just off the line, you know? So it really is some...
I think you can clearly do it, right? But it's just the, like, all the vibrations you get, all the tension you get from being in this beast.
Yeah.
That you're basically losing control, you know?
Yeah.
You're not coordinate anymore, you know?
Say on Sunday, there's four laps to go. And I always thought the person in first feels more pressure than the person in second. Say you're, I don't know, a second behind first place. Would you rather be first with the pressure of a guy on your back, or second, putting pressure on the guy on first, hoping that he makes a mistake with three laps to go?
So there's a lot of parameters to take into account, right? Like, who's the fastest between the two guys? If you're chasing and the gap remains 1 second, the guy behind is the quicker car, you know? I'd rather be in this like situation. Chasing down someone is always...
Chasing
down. Because I've won races while being chased down. It's much more tiring.
Pressure.
It's much, much harder than than chasing down.
See, anyone would think, no, three laps to go, I'd rather be first.
Yeah.
But there is a bit of a reverse psychology to that. Putting pressure is a better position to be in than having
you're
the pressure.
You're in a position where, you know, you've got nothing to lose, right?
Yeah.
It's always first place or never, or nothing. When you're first, you have everything to lose. And to be honest, these are the hardest race.
And do you monitor the guy in front of you thinking, ah, okay, he doesn't handle that sector as well as I can?
Exactly. You definitely analyze the guy ahead. You analyze his weaknesses, where he's slower, where he's faster than you. So you it's not all about sending it everywhere. You know, you also use your brain.
Is the heat a problem? On Sunday at around race time, it's going to be 33, 34 degrees. Is that a problem?
To be honest, I've never been like... It's never been something that is disturbing me. Heat, in general, I actually like heat. I feel like I'm walking out, you know? And to be fair, what's really difficult for me is not the heat or whatever. It's a track where it's really demanding on the neck, on the G-force.
Mm.
So like, you know, in Bahrain, it was 30 degrees. But it's not a demanding track, you know, it's the minimum speed is quite slow around here. So I was like, oh, it was an easy race. In Japan, it was cold. You know, Japanese, the Suzuka circuit is like, there's high speed everywhere. Mm. I can tell you, it was the hardest race of my life. I was struggling to get out of the car because I was completely crushed.
It was the hardest race of your life because of the...
Physically.
Because of the cold was a factor?
Because of the G-force.
The G-force.
Yeah. Not because of the heat or just the G-force itself. So...
You prefer a Jeddah track where it's...
And Jeddah, it's fastest. Combining heat and G-force. I think it's the toughest one of the year.
Mm.
Probably.
Does that long left, you know, the long left, that one a G-force issue?
It's definitely, because in the end, you're around like, what, 3:30? It's turning just slightly, you know, but it's turning for 15 seconds and you're pulling 1.5, 2G for like 15 seconds. You do that 55 laps.
It's going to get you.
It's going to get you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But with your style of driving, does Jeddah suit you?
There's two really nice braking zones. Into turn one and into the last corner where you can really make up lap time. And there's this sector one, fast and flowing. I think I really enjoy, especially like current cars. These cars give you so much confidence in high speed that, yeah, I do feel like it's going to suit me. Mm. And the car characteristics, for sure.
Who did you look up to growing up? Who was your idol in F1?
There were two, but like really my hero when growing up was Ayrton Senna. So I saw like this famous documentary.
There's one that just came out. Did you see it on Netflix?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, and honestly, it always breaks my heart when I watch Senna content, you know. And I think, yeah, I was 7. I didn't know who was that guy, you know. Like I was didn't know about Senna. And during the documentary, I like... there was this Imola race where he died and I was like, wow, I had no idea. I started crying and like, and since then he's always been like, really like my idol and every day like watching clips on YouTube from Ayrton Senna. And then later on when I made the switch to single seater, like the reference was Lewis Hamilton. Mm. He was the guy that I was looking up to because he was like the best.
Ayrton Senna or Schumacher? Or Hamilton as the GOAT, if you're allowed to say. If you were to ask the 20 drivers in F1 or how many, they would say, who would get the most votes as who is the greatest of all time?
It's, well, obviously you can't compare the three of them because it's different era, but I would say the best Formula One driver is definitely Hamilton for me because of the...
All time.
All time because of the longevity. Statistics, and also he was winning with he was never trying to be dirty,
yeah,
so he was always winning on merit. So I would say Lewis, but definitely like the fastest driver ever to live is definitely Senna. He's the most like skilled driver of all time. So there's a difference between best Formula One driver and just the best driver. Like, yeah, I think Senna is definitely like the most skilled, fast in every conditions. and Lewis has the better career.
I feel F1 really puts a lot of R&D into making the sport safer every year. If you look at the era of Ayrton Senna to today, it's a completely different sport.
Yeah, back then when they were jumping in those cars, they didn't know if they were making it alive after the session, you know. Now, there's still this risk, right? There's still something that can happen, but honestly, I do feel safe in my car. Mm. It's actually quite impressive. You get a hit, you see the wall coming at you fast, you hit the wall and you feel absolutely nothing. Mm. The cars are so robust. And they are definitely, every year there's improvements made on the car. I think the halo is the best thing that happened recently. So
I think it's the number one priority as far as F1's concerned, the safety of the drivers.
Yeah, definitely.
I remember in Bahrain, I think it was last year or 2 years ago. I don't want to say Mark Webber. Who was it? Mark Webber. How old am I? Yeah. There was a fire issue, and that was taken care of in no time. Yeah. He was out of the car. They extinguished
it. That was crazy.
That could have been a lot worse 20 years ago.
20 years ago, you're dead. You're a dead man.
Dead. Yeah.
Yeah, it's impressive.
Away from Formula One, what do you do to unwind, to get your mind off things? What do you do for fun?
To be when I'm not racing, I just want to go home. I miss home a lot and my friends, my family.
Algeria? Where's home?
Not anymore. Paris?
In Paris.
I used to go to Algeria a lot when I was a kid every year, but now there's no, I don't have family there anymore. Mm. So home is Paris. Mm. And a bit of judo.
Judo?
Yeah. It's my favorite sport, actually, after racing.
Really?
It was my first sport as a kid.
It's a lot of discipline in martial arts.
Respect, discipline. Yeah, judo is nice.
Amazing. And an entrecote, maybe, while you're in Paris. That's why I go to Paris.
You love entrecote?
I love it, yeah.
Entrecote.
Yeah. I'll get on the train from London just to go have entrecote and come back. Yeah.
it does the job.
Future plans. Where do you ever take a minute to say, you know what, in 5 years from now, in 10 years from now, this is where I'd like to be?
I want to be at the top of my game and my sport. That's all where and with who, I don't really know. Hmm. But I want to be the reference. Yeah.
You'll have a lot of support here because as far as Saudi is concerned, people from the Middle East is concerned, you are the local boy.
I am.
So you absolutely. I look forward to the day when we get a Saudi guy on F1. But until then, I hope people are aware that you do represent the Arab world and thus you get the support that you deserve come Sunday.
I really hope so. I hope the fans will be cheering for me. And I also hope I just nail it this weekend. Kind of. It's not a home track, but...
Kind of is,
yeah. Exactly.
Youngsters in the karting world today, we'll end with this one. My son's 7 years old, loves cars. What advice would you give those 7, 8 years old who are going to go to the race on Sunday and who love karting and who want to one day make a career out of this?
I think, actually my go-kart career was not easy at all. I always thought it was when growing up, I was always fast, but if you look at my go-kart career and resume, you're like, he's not going to make it to Formula One. He hasn't won anything. And I would say just don't doubt yourself. I've doubted myself so many times as a young kid, trying to make it to European races, world championships. And, I would just say don't doubt yourself because especially at this young age, you develop yourself at such speed that you can always make it. So
you surprised a lot of people by making it to F1.
I would say so. I think I've chose the long road to Formula One, and I'm pretty sure I've built stronger foundations than people who made it the easy way.
Yeah. Amazing. That's a very inspiring story. Good luck on Sunday.
Thank you, mate.
And thank you for giving me some of your time today.
It's my pleasure.
All the best, Isaac. Thanks again.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.